Hello, Fiona Ritchie with you, and you're very welcome this week to the Thistle, Shamrock and...
Deck the hall with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-fa-la-la-la-la-la. Sing the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa-la-la-la-la. Fa la 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 la. Hail the new you lads and lasses. Fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together. Fa la la fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather. Fa la 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 la.
Ceres Matthews with Deck the Halls. Popular carol is set to an old Welsh melody dating back at least to the 16th century, so it's a great start to our special festive hour as Ceres Matthews from Wales is my guest this week. And the singer-songwriter, broadcaster and writer will be joining us in the second half of our time together to tell us about her setting of A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas. We'll hear some of her narration along with original music created for the work. So that's all to look forward to, and let's set the mood first with Mindy Gledhill's arrangement of Patapan, the old French carol from Burgundy, blended with some lines from an Advent hymn with even more ancient roots, O Come Emmanuel. Mindy Gledhill ahead, after Matt and Shannon Heaton, Dust of Snow.
Thank you.
Al Petaway and Amy White, with the melodies of the old Shape Note hymn, Star in the East, and Born in Bethany, the old carol collected in the Southern Appalachians by John Jacob Niles, and given the Renaissance Fair treatment there by Al and Amy. So we're going to stay on that side of the ocean for a song brought to us by another important 20th century song collector in the Southern Mountains, Gene Ritchie, this one from the African-American tradition, which leads me to want to share this lovely prayer song from Ghana that I recently found. So whether you revere the holy holidays of the midwinter religious festivals or are simply tuned into the wonder of this time of year and the turning of the seasons, perhaps there's something for us all in this verse. Journeying God, pitch your tent with mine, so that I may not become deterred by hardship, strangeness, doubt. Show me the movement I must make towards a wealth not dependent on possessions, toward a wisdom not based on books, toward a strength not bolstered by might, toward a God not confined to heaven. Help me to find myself as I walk in others' shoes. Here's Joel Mabus. Children, go where I send thee.
Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send you one by one. One for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, he was born, he was born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send you two by two, two for the Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, he was born, he was born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send you three by three, three for the Hebrew children, two for the Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, he was born, he was born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send you four by four, four for the gospel writers, three for the Hebrew children, two for the Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, he was born, he was born in Bethlehem. Oh, children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send you five by five, five for the foolish virgins, four for the gospel writers, three for the Hebrew children, two for the Paul and Silas, one for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, he was born, he was born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send you 6x6. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the foolish virgins. 4 for the gospel writers. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for the Paul and Silas. 1 for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. Born, born, born in Bethlehem. Our children go where I send them. How shall I send them? I'm gonna send you 7x7. 7 for the 7 that went up to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the foolish virgins. 4 for the gospel writers. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for the Paul and Silas. 1 for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send them. How shall I send them? I'm gonna send you 8x8. 8 for the 8 that weed at the gate. 7 for the 7 that went up to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the foolish virgins. 4 for the gospel writers. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for the Paul and Silas. 1 for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. Born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send you 9x9, 9 for the 9 they never could find. 8 for the 8, wait at the gate. 7 for the 7 that went up to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the foolish virgins. 4 for the gospel writers. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for the Paul and Silas. 1 for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. Born, born, born. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? Well, I'm gonna send you 10x10, 10 for the 10 that's born again. 9 for the 9 they never could find. 8 for the 8, wait at the gate. 7 for the 7 that went up to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the foolish virgin. 4 for the gospel writers. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for the Paul and Silas. 1 for the little bitty baby born to a woman called Mary. What you gonna call your baby? I'm gonna call him Jesus. He was born. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born. He was born in Bethlehem. Thank you.
Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus es natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus es natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete. Gaudete, Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgine Gaudete.
Annuna and Gaudete from a 16th century collection of music, and we heard from fiddler Eileen Ivers with a set of reels, Christmas Eve, Euchanolig, and the High Road to Linton. Ceris Matthews is ahead with memories of a child's Christmas in Wales, her own, and those immortalised by Dylan Thomas. You can check out all the details online at thistleradio.com, including our Listen Again stream, but stay with me because it's all on your radio first. This is NPR. This is Fiona Ritchie with a taste of Past 3 o'clock from Chris Newman and Moya Nihasig. Stay with me to hear that most musical of poets, Dylan Thomas, and to greet my guest, also from Wales, Ceris Matthews. This is from her reading, with music by Ceris and composer-arranger Mason Neely, of Dylan Thomas, A Child's Christmas. Thank you. I'm delighted to be sitting here with Keris Matthews, singer-songwriter, broadcaster, writer. And it's lovely to have you on the show because, Keris, I have to admit that occasionally I do hear from people saying I don't have enough Welsh guests. So you're ticking all the boxes for me this week.
Well, I think we should rename the show Thistle, the Shamrock and the Leek.
Yes.
Today. You know, I lived in America for a long time. I lived in South Carolina and Nashville, and they used to say, you know, with my accent, where are you from? Where are you from? So I'd say I'm from Wales, and then they'd be like, well, where's Wales? So if you don't know where Wales is, you fly into, this is like my stock answer would be, you fly into London, you turn left, you keep going until, you know, until you hit Wales. And you know, my mum lives right on the west coast of Wales, so if she looks in a clear day, she's 50 miles over the Irish Sea from the other side. She's, you know, got Rosslare and Dublin and so forth. So we're on the west coast of England, basically.
I have to say that that long-term listeners to my programme know where Wales is.
Good,
so
good.
There you go. Anyway, it's wonderful to be with you, come and visit you on your home turf down here in London, where you live now. And you've brought out this wonderful CD. It's entitled Dylan Thomas, A Child's Christmas, Poems and Tiger Eggs. And especially at this time of year, we want to focus on what you've done with A Child's Christmas in Wales, a beloved piece in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more popular in America than in Wales, actually, because if you think about Welsh history, you know, we were chapel goers, and you know, Dylan Thomas became a living legend and with a reputation of womanizing and drinking a lot. And in Wales, then they'd be like, oh no, we can't associate ourselves with this buffoon, this drunkard. And then it reminds you of Under Milkwood, where they'd say, What will the neighbours say? But A Child's Christmas became very popular in America, and then of course it came back home.
Yeah, sometimes that's the way things go. They become popular somewhere else, and then they kind of revitalise the source. So you grew up in Swansea, and as I've read you saying, that you had some of the same views out of your bedroom window, your front house window, that Dylan Thomas would have enjoyed himself.
Well, Swansea's a beautiful city. It's an industrial city, or it was anyway. But it's on the natural sort of crescent-shaped shore. You've got Mumbles to your right, Mumbles named by the Vikings, apparently, the bumps in the sea. And then to your left, Neath and the oil refinery of Port Talbot with the lights at night. And yeah, we shared the same view. So this, you know, huge expanse in the crescent shape of the bay.
One Christmas was so much like another in those years around the sea town corner now, and out of all sound except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep. That I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and 6 nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6. All the Christmases rolled down toward the Two-Tongue Sea, like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street, and they stop at the rim of the ice-edged, fish-freezing waves, and I plunge my hands in the snow and bring out whatever I can find. In goes my hand into that wool-white, bell-tongued ball of holidays resting at the margin of the carol-singing sea. And out come Mrs. Protherin and the firemen. It was on the afternoon of the day of Christmas Eve, and I was in Mrs. Protherin's garden waiting for cats with her son, Jim. It was snowing. It was always snowing at Christmas. December in my memory is white as Lapland, though there were no reindeers. But there were cats. Patient, cold and callous, our hands wrapped in socks, we waited to snowball the cats. Sleek and long as jaguars and terrible whiskered, spitting and snarling, they would slink and sidle over the white back garden walls. And the lynx-eyed hunters, Jim and I, fur-capped and moccasin trappers from Hudson's Bay off Mumbles Road would hurl our deadly snowballs at the green of their eyes. The wise cats never appeared. We were so still, Eskimo-footed Arctic marksmen in the muffling silence of the eternal snows. Eternal ever since Wednesday. That we never heard Mrs. Prothero's first cry from her igloo at the bottom of the garden. Or if we heard it at all, it was to us like the far-off challenge of our enemy and prey, the neighbour's polar cat.
The idea to do the CD sprouted in South Carolina.
It did, because strangely enough, when I was going to school in Swansea, we didn't study Dylan Thomas at all. So although I was very aware of Dylan Thomas, and particularly so because my uncle Colin Edwards had been obsessive about Dylan Thomas in so far as being an expat himself and a broadcaster abroad, saw that people of Wales were turning their backs to this poet international fame, and decided to interview as many people as he could that had come into contact with him. So I was totally aware of Dylan Thomas, but there was a moment where it really hit home how brilliantly he wrote, how beautifully he wrote, and how much it can touch you, because he said so much about us as humans, wherever you're from. And that was at Christmas time in South Carolina. I was pregnant at the time, and I looked at the Christmas tree that my mother-in-law had put up, full of the decorations, and there was this little book hanging from one of the branches, and I was like, oh, what's that book? Took it down, opened it, A Child's Christmas in Wales. And I just read it from the very first word to the very last word, and I think I read it 3 or 4 times that day, and it just, that's when it really hit home. This guy was absolutely beautiful. His sensitivity as a poet, because you hear all his reputations and all the silly headlines that are ultimately not giving at all. And then you read his words and you realise actually why he became so famous and why people love him and how much he keeps giving.
There were the useful presents, engulfing mufflers of the old coach days and mittens made for giant sloths, zebra scarves of a substance like silky gum that could be tug-of-war down to the galoshes, blinding tam-o'-shanters like patchwork tea cosies and bunny-suited busbies and balaclavas for victims of head-shrinking tribes. From aunts who always wore wool next to the skin, there were moustached and rasping vests that made you wonder why the aunts had any skin left at all. And once, I had a little crocheted nose bag from an aunt now, alas, no longer whinnying with us. And pictureless books in which small boys, though warned with quotations not to, would skate on Farmer Giles's pond and did, and drowned. And books that told me everything about the wasp. Except, why? Go on to the useless presents. Bags of moist and many-coloured jelly babies, and a folded flag, and a false nose, and a tram conductor's cap, and a machine that punched tickets and rang a bell, never a catapult. Once, by mistake that no one could explain, a little hatchet, and a celluloid duck that made, when you pressed it, a most unduck-like sound. A mewing moo that an ambitious cat might make who wished to be a cow. And a painting book in which I could make the grass, the trees, the sea and the animals any colour I pleased. And still a dazzling sky blue sheep are grazing in the red field under the rainbow build and pea-green birds. boiled, toffee, fudge and all sorts, crunches, cracknels, humbugs, glaciers, marzipan and butter Welsh for the Welsh. And troops of bright tin soldiers who, if they could not fight, could always run. And snakes and families and happy ladders. And easy hobby games for little engineers, complete with instructions. Oh, easy for Leonardo. And a whistle to make the dogs bark, to wake up the old man next door, to make him beat on the wall with his stick and shake a picture off the wall. And a packet of cigarettes. You put one in your mouth and you stood at the corner of the street and you waited for hours in vain for an old lady to scold you for smoking a cigarette. And then with a smirk you ate it.
Talking with Ceres Matthews about Dylan Thomas, A Child's Christmas in Wales, her new recording, along with other works by Thomas. Ceres, you've touched on why Dylan Thomas is so beloved to you and why perhaps he was somewhat neglected on his home turf for a while. But his legacy, his broad legacy beyond A Child's Christmas in Wales, you know, what can we take from it today and how does it inspire writers of today, do you think, songwriters, as it has done?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. The music that's been inspired already by Dylan Thomas is incredible. I mean, Bob Dylan, we know, is a huge fan. Stan Tracy, Starless and Bible Black, which is a beautiful piece of music as well. So, and, you know, just in his poetry itself, he's lyrical. He's like, you know, Robert Burns or W.B. Yeats. He's got that lyricism in his work in abundance. So some of the poems that I've got on the second CD, you don't have to do much. But I've been doing finding music to go under certain pieces of poetry for a while on the radio show. Max Richter is a composer and he did a composition inspired by T.S. Eliot's Wastelands. And so I wanted to hear the text while listening to his music. So I did it at home and it totally worked. It sort of added another dimension to it. And so from then on, I've not been afraid of doing that. So it's just allowing plenty of space and making sure, obviously, the rhythms work together and the sounds and the atmosphere you create with these sort of musical soundscapes. But his work is just, the humour in it, for one, is incredible. In A Child's Christmas, when he says about the useful presents and the useless presents, a duck, which makes the most unduck-like sound, or then a book about wasps that tells you everything about wasps, except why. And it's just line after line of brilliance about the scratchy jumpers you're given and all the rest of it. I think what we have in common, I wonder if this is a question, let me put it out there to you then, amongst Celts in a way, is the belief in the power of the word. And if you hear something that touches you, you jump right on in there. You just go with it, whether it's in hymns or folk music or a story. You just go, and the way you cast your magic is with sounds and syllables and rhymes and rhythm, and it's all there.
For dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding. And after dinner, the uncle sat in front of the fire, loosened all buttons, put their large, moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts and sisters would scuttle to and fro, bearing tureens. Auntie Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and had some elderberry wine. The dog was sick. Auntie Dosie had to have 3 aspirins, but Auntie Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard singing like a big bosom thrush. I would blow up balloons to see how big they would blow up to. And when they burst, which they all did, the uncles jumped and rumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, The uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending, I would sit among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model man o' war, following the instructions for little engineers, and produce what might be mistaken for a seagoing tram car.
Talking with Ceris Matthews about her recording of Dylan Thomas, A Child's Christmas in Wales. I want to talk to you about the music on this recording and how you imagined this would sound to music. There's a great musicality in Dylan's writing anyway, and indeed in the Welsh accent, I always feel. But then you've obviously set it to music with Mason Neely. Mm. Can you tell us a wee bit about what you were thinking of and how that all came together?
Well, I loved Peter and the Wolf when I was a child by Prokofiev. And when I read A Child's Christmas, that Christmas in South Carolina, it suddenly occurred to me that I wanted it to dance with music in the same way you could imagine the drunk uncles being played by trombones, for instance, or, you know, Miss Prothero, who comes downstairs after that chaotic Christmas Eve of fire and snowballs and smoke and cinder and stuff. And Miss Prothero coming down and she'd be a clarinet or like a piccolo or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, this can be done. This is a good 10 years ago now. And that's what it was. So Mason's from Chattanooga. We've been playing together since I lived in Nashville. So that's going way back now into the early 2000s. He is actually now resident in Cardiff in Wales. So we still work together on music. He's a very talented string arranger and a composer in his own right. So together it was a lofty ambition. I mean, to take Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev as your mood board is aiming high. But you have to aim high and you'll get somewhere, hopefully.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful and it's got great joy about it. And it opens, it almost sounds like a fairground or a sort of a child's music box opening up. We feel like we're entering into a world.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I you know, Christmas, you know, whatever religion you are, wherever you're from, Christmas or this sort of midwinter time is a time of hope and renewal and downtime and time to consider the past and to consider how you're going to move ahead to the future. It's a time of wonder, and we wanted to really capture that.
And when we stopped running, we were outside our house. The front room was lovely. Balloons floated under the hot water bottle gulping gas. Everything was good again and shone over the town. Perhaps it was a ghost, Jim said. Perhaps it was trolls, Dan said, who was always reading. Let's go in and see if there's any jelly left, Jack said. And we did. Always on Christmas night there was music. An uncle played the fiddle, a cousin sang Cherry Ripe, and another uncle sang Drake's Drum. It was very warm in the little house. Auntie Hannah, who had got on the parsnip wine, sang a song about bleeding hearts and death, and then another in which she said her heart was like a bird's nest, and then everybody laughed again. And then I went to bed.
What was your child's Christmas in Wales like?
Pretty chaotic, but I love chaos at Christmas. I'm one of four children. My mum was one of five children, and we were the first grandchildren to come along. So all the aunts and uncles used to come to our house as well, and lots of music being played. And huge turkey, but the feared cold cuts after the turkey was served hot the following day. My mum would, and she still does it. She'd come in and she'd go, we're travelling all down the M4 from London to go back to West Wales for Christmas. And she'd open the door and she goes, I've got the cold cuts ready. I'm like, mum, seriously? Cold cuts are not that inviting and I don't want cold cuts. No, just cold pieces of leftover meat, you know. And I've got some cold ham there. I don't want cold ham and I don't want cold turkey. And then the pickled onions and pickled cabbage I liked.
Winn-Dixie cold cuts and Highway Hand-Me-Downs are the only time that cold cuts sound romantic or interesting.
Oh, no. And then the giblet soup and Christmas Eve. But I like the giblet soup and we used to fight over the neck of the turkey. But no, eating a lot and just family time. That's it for me, and probably drinking a little bit too much because we used to have baby sham, which is like cider, peary, you know, pear cider.
It's making a comeback, so I understand.
Yeah, but it's a different recipe, and they only sell it in the big bottles. And the thing is, in the 70s and the 80s, you'd been sold them in small bottles, which allowed my mum from Neath to give the children a little taste. It was Christmas. So admit that. But that's a Swansea kind of Christmas for you.
That
you
works
know?
For me. So you when you read A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas, and it's almost like a wonderful cartoon almost playing out in front of us. You can recognise some of that in your own experience.
Well, you know, there's a gorgeous character called Hannah, who is quietly tippling the day away. You know, there's always a mention that she has a little sherry by the sideboard and then she's having a bit of rum. And then finally she's out in the garden singing like a big bosomed thrush. And so musically that was so much fun to do. And also he's taking Christmas as a time, as I say, to look back and look back at former ages and former centuries, and goes into this whole romantic spiel about mountains and harp playing and before the horse, before the car. It's just this moment of nostalgia. It's superb.
Looking through my bedroom window, out into the moonlight and the unending smoke-coloured snow, I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our hill, and hear the music rising from them up the long, steadily falling night. I turn the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness, and then I slept.
Enduring appeal of A Child's Christmas in Wales, and particularly at this time of year, the love that people have of it is something that's wonderful to share. And you're doing that with orchestration and music with Mason Neely. And we know that folks across the states are going to be loving hearing this, helping them set the celebratory tone for the time of year.
Yeah.
Keris Matthews, thank you so much for telling us all about it. How are you going to celebrate Christmas this year yourself?
Well, with turkey. Not so many cold cuts, hopefully. But have a fantastic Christmas, though, because it's just a good time just to spend downtime. Slow time, I like to call it these
Absolutely.
Days. Slow time is with your friends and family.
As you say, you wanted the poem to dance with music, but I think it might be going to dance even more, because is this not going to evolve into a ballet?
It is. It's a sort of like a four-step project, this one, is to write the music and make sure it was, you know, as good as we could, because the text is just so magical. So that was the first step. The second step to make it into a CD. The third step was to make it into a ballet. So I'm a patron of Ballet Cymru. And so that's the plan for next year. And then the fourth step, fingers crossed, is that we animate it
as well. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, you can tell us all about it when it comes around.
Oh, Fiona, I'm a huge fan, So it's been so pleasurable meeting you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And can you wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year in Welsh?
Nadolig llawen a blwyddyn newydd a'i chi gyd. And listen, if you want to do another Thistle, Shamrock and Leek, please just call me.
I will. Thank you, Ceris Matthews. All the best.
Diolch.
Thanks to my guest, Ceris Matthews, who shared her narration of A Child's Christmas by Dylan Thomas, an adventure with orchestra. The music is a collaboration by Ceris and composer and arranger Mason Neely. Thanks to BBC Six Music and to Adam Dineen, Alison Gardner and Ailey Hodgson for help with this week's show. The Thistle, Shamrock and Leek comes to you each week from Scotland. I'm Fiona Ritchie. Find music details and listen again online at thistleradio.com. Join me on social media. On Facebook, it's Thistle Radio. And on Twitter, I'm Fiona Ritchie. Open the door for the old year. It is the Pearton time. Open the door for the new year and let the bairn win hame. Bundle your wintered joy and grief on the back of the year that's done. Open your heart for the new life and let the bairn come in. The Thistle and Shamrock is a service mark of Fiona Ritchie. Support for NPR comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognising exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org, and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR Music.